This is massive to have the world's most famous football club, Man United, coming out here to play the A-League All-Stars is a massive thing for football in this country. We obviously want, as a guiding principle, our fans to be involved in the selection process. We've seen that work well in other sports, and with the depth of talent, the skill level we're seeing in the A-League these days, I think we can expect a really competitive game against Man United.
That's the Football Federation Australia Chief Executive David Gallop speaking to ABC Grandstand earlier. Francis Leach joins me from ABC Grandstand. You must just be beside yourself, Francis.
G'day, Waleed. Well, I must put it on the line that I'm not a Manchester United fan, never will be, never have been. I'm an Arsenal person, so I'm tepid on the notion of going to watch Manchester United.
But you might get to see them get beaten, Francis.
But I do see what David Gallop is actually getting at there, and it is a really big coup for the A-League to have them coming here. Particularly the timing of it's interesting, because it'll come off the back. It'll be July of next year, late July of next year, as the team from Old Trafford start to prepare themselves for the upcoming Premier League season. But it'll be back off the back of the end of Australia's Socceroos qualification campaign for Brazil 2014. So if we presume the Socceroos are well placed to qualify, they've got a number of games in quick succession in June for the final games of qualification here in Australia. We'll know their fate by then. So the game might be on a bit of a roll by the time that Manchester United arrive, and the momentum of having them come, particularly as they look like being champions again, in my estimation, after winning overnight and being 6 points clear, it's a long way to go, but they once again found a late injury time winner in Fergie time, as we like to call it, at Eastlands against Manchester City. And the All-Star concept, not a new one. The Major League Baseball in the United States, in particular, have made that their own over a long period of time. And I like the fact that they've taken on Major League Baseball's approach to this by making it a fan-driven initiative, in that you can vote for your players to become members of the All-Star team. So it becomes, a bit of a contest and generates a lot of discussion, and it's given over to the fans to choose their own All-Star team to take on Manchester United.
Right, so just to be clear about this, this is not Manchester United versus Australia, which is what happened last time. This is the A-League All-Stars, who could, in fact, and probably almost certainly will, have a lot of non-Australian players. So Alessandro Del Piero, you'd think, would probably line up. Emil Heskey might be a chance to line up again against Man U. It could be exciting once you add that sort of international flavour to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And David Gallop's made it clear that this is probably, if it works, and I think it will, an initiative that they'd like to take forward and continue to use. And it gives them a point of difference to the other codes. I mean, it's such a crowded marketplace, the football market, and it's one thing that the other codes haven't done or don't do. I know that Rugby League has State of Origin, and, of course, it's internationals with the Kangaroos, and the AFL has, it's all Australian team that never plays, but at least it selects a prime team each season. But this is something altogether different, chosen by the fans, and it does have that element, a point of difference from the national team as well. So, nothing's at stake in this game, but that's not the point. The point is that Manchester United will be here, as they were in 1999, and the timing of that was particularly delicious for Australian football, though they didn't capitalise on it, because it was at the end of their treble-winning season when they won all available trophies, or at least the three big ones available to them, European Champions League, the English Premier League and the FA Cup, and they came to Australia for a tour. So it's an opportunity to once again showcase the game, which is going along quite nicely at the moment.
But Francis, when they came in 99, they didn't bring anyone. Beckham didn't come and Scholes didn't come.
Yeah, no one wanted to go and see Henning Berg, did they, play?
No, although Ole Gunnar Solskjaer played, and he was the super sub at the time, and I think he had to graduate to starting. But, are they going to take it seriously this time?
No, it's changed dramatically. What's happened in the last 15 years or so, and the start of those tours was around 1999, is that Manchester United won't just be coming to Australia. They'll be going to Southeast Asia. They are basically on a tour promoting themselves in the region on behalf of their sponsors. And they will bring, and they have brought big squads and strong squads to these exhibition matches in Southeast Asia. And the United States has been their destination in the last couple of years. They see this as an opportunity to promote their brand as much as anything else. And I think they've learned that in order to do that, they need to bring a strong squad. It is part of their pre-season. We're seeing AFL clubs now head off overseas to the United States and elsewhere to do their pre-season. So it's not unusual for other codes to take their teams offshore to prepare for the upcoming season. So I'd expect a strong Manchester United squad here. They understand that the power of their brand, and they're much more aware of it than they were back then. And they'll be out here selling Manchester United and everything else it has for sale on this tour and probably through a swing through Southeast Asia.
Well, though Australia's not the biggest market. I think if they're playing in Japan or something, you might be, pulling out all the stops.
They will be though, Wally. This won't be their only stop on this tour. It'll be like a rock band tour. They'll be stopping off in places. I don't know what the itinerary will be, but you can rest assured it will be somewhere like KL or Tokyo, or maybe even more probably even in China. There was a big game at Manchester United played Arsenal at the Bird's Nest. Manchester City played Arsenal at the Olympic Bird Nest venue in July of this year, and China seemed to be the one jewel that hasn't been captured by football yet. So my guess is that you'll see Manchester United probably playing a game in China as part of this sweep through Southeast Asia.
Oh yeah, well, that wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, in fact, I think their biggest fan base is in Asia. They were thinking of listing on the Singapore Stock Exchange at one point, I think. I don't know if they went ahead with that, but look, it's going to be good fun, whatever the case. And when you have a brand like that coming to Australia, just like when David Beckham came a few years ago, it's enormous. So, look, I hope it's as exciting as it sounds at the moment. To other football codes, why is Chris Judd not going to captain Carlton or even be in its leadership group?
Yeah, well, it's, the new coach has come in and asked for a different leadership structure at the Carlton Football Club after 5 years as the captain. And the man in charge, Chris Judd, who's been their inspirational player throughout that period of time, has decided to step down from that role. And from the mythical leadership group altogether, nobody quite knows what the leadership group is. It's just sort of, it's like the Masons. It's this secret society within each football club with a handshake that they share with one another, and have a council of elders within the team itself. So, look, he has always been reluctant to be a leader. I remember even as a young player, he came out quite strong, and Chris Judd's very smart. Man, he's a radio nationalist. He's admitted to that in the past, and
yes,
he was bold enough to question very early on that footballers needed to be role models at all. That he just saw himself as a football professional doing his job, and it wasn't his job necessarily to be a civic leader in any way, shape, or form. So I think he's always been a reluctant leader to take on any particular role in the traditional sense. He had to do it at the West Coast Eagles for a while as well. And I'm really, on reflection, not that surprised. He's going, well, I'm not for this anymore. I just want to concentrate on playing football and let somebody else carry the load. So, he'll continue to be the leader, though, because he leads by example. He sets the standard. In the end, isn't that what leadership's about?
And he's one of the best players of all time, and
absolutely,
that just brings a kind of leadership with it. We should tick off the fact that the Kookaburras are world champions. And my initial response as someone who follows hockey only when it enters my field of vision is, well, what the hell is wrong with doing that at the Olympics?
Yeah, good question, and that's one that Rick Charlesworth no doubt will be asking, even though they will be celebrating their fifth consecutive Champions Trophy, which is the annual World Championship of field hockey.
Well, that only makes the point stronger, doesn't it?
It does. They were beaten quite disappointingly. The Germans went on to win the gold medal in London, and the Kookaburras went in as reigning world champions and the number one team in the world and didn't produce at that particular tournament. And having spoken to a few of the players over the last few days, it's been the driving factor in their success at this tournament. But they would also know that the German team that came out here was a shadow of the one that won the Olympic gold medal. So, yes, they've won the Champions Trophy and they've beaten those they had to beat, but I think they would know that the real contest was the one in London and they didn't win it. So Rick Charlesworth is a restless soul if ever there was one and always looking to improve. It'd be interesting to see whether he continues on in this role. He's been, of course, standard bearer for the sport for so very, very long. And I guess the lack of success in London, given Rich Charlesworth's nature, might be just the thing that will drive him on to try to find an answer to that question you asked. Because as good as it was yesterday in front of a big crowd at the State Netball and Hockey Centre in Melbourne, over 5,000 people, yeah, the shadow of London sort of hung over it regardless of the fact that it was a great win over the Dutch.
Yeah, redemption Rio, I reckon, Francis. Thank you very much for speaking to us. We'll speak again soon.
No worries.
Francis Leach from ABC Grandstand.